significant and serious ratting involving loyalists and nationalists in North Belfast from yesterday afternoon until the early hours of this morning. And obviously, I want to provide a platform for you today to talk about this. You know what the show's all about. It's really, really important when this type of stuff happens that we hear from you from within the local community. 08459 555 678. The lines are open right now. 08459 555 678. 47 police officers injured. Petrol bombs, bottles, masonry thrown at PSNI lines. Water cannon deployed in the Lower Shankill and on the Antrim Road. Now remember, Sunday afternoon this. It's great for tourists, isn't it? Never mind the tourists. It's great for, you know, law-abiding people as they're trying to go about their Sunday afternoon business. Now, four police officers were treated in hospital. This morning, one officer is still being treated. His condition is not life-threatening. The trouble began when a loyalist crowd came out of Denmark Street to protest against a Republican band parade. Missiles were exchanged between both sides. Police keeping them apart were then attacked by both crowds. Let's speak to Sinn Féin North Belfast MLA, first of all, Gerry Kelly. Morning to you, Gerry.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
What exactly happened here? From your perspective?
Well, I got a call shortly after two that there was a huge crowd came out of Denmark Street there. It was clearly led by well-known loyalists. It was planned. I mean, I'm told, I got down shortly after, it was quite hard to gauge the crowd, but I was told it was 300 or more. So, I mean, the first thing to say was that it was planned, that there was no protest applied for, that it took everyone by surprise, including the police and the parade that was going on. And it was there for the intent of creating some sort of mayhem, which ensued later on. I mean, I think the question, if I could ask the question here at the start, is, you know, where is the leadership? Where is the leadership from political unionism, and where is the leadership from the loyal orders? Because clearly, or it seemed at least yesterday, and if you go back to the St. Patrick's incident and all of that, there's that loyalism seems to be in charge of what's going on at the minute, and loyalism itself has to speak in this.
Do you think the paramilitaries were involved?
Oh, clearly they were involved yesterday. I mean, some of the questions I'd like to ask is, how did they get the keys to the Orange Order building there, where well-known loyalists were standing on the balcony?
Which paramilitary group do you think was involved?
Well, I think in the first instance, definitely the UVF, but I think that in this case, both were. UVF and UDF.
They're both still in ceasefire.
Well, they're both still in ceasefire, are they not?
Well, these are questions you have to ask them. I'm really raising the issue around leadership, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, the effect that it has on Catholics is in the area is that it is very intimidating to them. There is a massive anger out there over what happened around the same area. There are contentious parades which go past a nationalist area there. This parade was contained within the nationalist area. It came out through the New Lodge, it was got past Carrickhill. It did not go past the bottom of the Shankill Road or anywhere else like that. It turned into the Henry Place there and into the graveyard where actually a Presbyterian Republican is buried to do a commemoration there now. Then we have a planned protest that was not applied for, and therefore I have to only assume that it was there to create the mayhem which then ensued.
The police were attacked.
This is in the aftermath of the Parades Commission making determinations and it being actually broken, not just by one band, but en masse in terms of that. So we're in a very difficult situation. I don't know where the political unionism is, except they seem to be hiding, and they certainly are not talking about the illegality of all of this.
Well, you talk about them hiding. We asked the PUP to come onto the programme this morning. No one's available from the PUP. It's very interesting that. We asked the North and West Belfast Parades Forum to come on this morning. They're not available either. You know, you think to yourself, in the name of goodness, do they not want to come on and represent their local community? People waking up this morning thinking to themselves, OK, what's the score here? How safe am I in the area? Where is the PUP this morning?
It's very, if I could say this, Stephen, it's very, very difficult not to have come on a programme like this and then getting into a shouting match. And, you know, it is very difficult not to apportion blame and all that. But, I mean, there has to be somewhere there has to be leadership which is saying, you know, the loyal orders have to be looking at themselves and saying, you know, Orange Fest is dead. Why is it dead? It's dead because, you know, we have a small number of incidents here which have turned the whole image, and it's their image of an Orange Fest completely upside down. Who could look at this and think that they would come to watch these things? Where
Jerry,
is the leadership?
Jerry, they weren't the only ones. The Loyalists weren't the only ones ratting. The Nationalists were ratting too. The police were attacked by both sides.
And that is correct, and I was over later in
so
the night.
So where's the leadership been from the Nationalist community?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm here. I'm on the programme. I condemn what happened. In terms of the number of police officers who ended up in hospital and were injured. But I have to apportion blame too. I mean, this is not the first time this parade has taken place. There was no contention on it last year or the year before. This was deliberately made contentious by loyalism. And loyalism is grasping onto this. They're, you know, unionism put out a statement after the St. Patrick's debacle. I mean, shameful. And what happened at St. Patrick's Chapel, and they put out a statement along with the bands organisations. I mean, what sort of leadership is that showing? No condemnation of the illegality of it. They hide from the press. Now, I haven't said all of that, and I mean, in fairness, you've given me some leeway to talk there. You know, I have to say at the end of it, where is the dialogue? Where is the initiative that's been taken? Are we going to go through this for another 15 years, or is there going to be, you know, is the nettle going to be grass? And the realization that if we can deal with a small number of issues here, which are all based in the final analysis on respect, if we can deal with that, surely we can move forward, as opposed to me coming continually onto your program, or anybody else for that matter, and having to condemn the type of things which are taking place here.
If
this was real culture, then at the core of it, would be respect. And unfortunately, at the core of it is anything but respect.
You say, where's the leadership from unionists? And the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party has been listening to you this morning, Mike Nesbitt. What's your assessment, Mike, of what happened last night?
Well, good morning, Steve. Well, the first thing I want to do is join my colleague, Ross Hussey, who sits on the policing board for the Ulster Unionist Party, and condemn outright last night's violence. 47 officers injured, some badly enough to require hospital treatment. I wish them a speedy recovery. To the extent to which the violence came from the loyalist-stroke-unionist side, it is legally wrong, it is morally wrong, and it is also strategically wrong. I understand there's a palpable sense of frustration within that community, but that is not the way to express it. And we do need to have leadership, and it's leadership that goes beyond the sort of Sinn Féin BUP carve-up, which tried to address and failed to address the parading issue on the back of Hillsborough in 2010. And I do talk to people, Stephen, including leaders of paramilitary groups on the Loyalist side. As recently as last Friday, I had a meeting. And there is a sense of frustration. There is a sense that there isn't the sort of leadership that they are being offered, that former Republican terrorists are being offered on that side of the fence. And that's an imbalance that needs to be addressed. And I'm prepared to work hard to try and do that.
What paramilitary group did you meet last week?
I would meet the UVF, I would meet the UDA or representatives thereof, Stephen, because these people, whether you like it or not, have an influence. And as David Trimble once said, just because you have a past doesn't mean you cannot have a future.
And when you met the UVF, the UDA last week, what did they tell you their frustrations were?
Well, the frustrations, I think, are the fact that it is now 18 years since the ceasefires and 14 years since the Belfast Agreement, and there's been absolutely no sign of what was once vaunted as the mythical peace dividend. You know, there are no jobs in North Belfast. Housing is an issue in North Belfast. Education is an issue.
But that's on both sides.
Yes, and I'm a leader on the unionist side, and I'm working with those people because they believe that what happened was that you saw Republican prisoners coming out of prison to be greeted as heroes by their community and have a direct line to the very heart of government because, let's face it, you know, they may have even shared a prison cell with somebody who would now be at the heart of government up at Stormont. And the exact opposite happened on the Loyalist side. And I do not condone Loyalist terrorism in 1969, 79, or in 2012. But I'm about building a better future, Stephen. And that includes the need for dialogue with everybody who is determined and shows a sign that they want to go forward positively.
So have you any doubt that the paramilitaries organised, the loyalist paramilitaries, and I understand that there was violence on both sides, I've said that this morning, but in terms of the violence that there was from the loyalist community, did the loyalist paramilitaries organise it?
I do not know, Stephen. I was not there, and I have not spoken to anybody who was there, so I cannot answer that question. What I can say to you is that I am aware of the sense of deep, deep frustration within communities such as the Loyalist Unionist community in North Belfast, and I am determined to do what I can to show them a political future and a way forward, which was the one that we had in mind 14 years ago. The executive gets back to work today, Stephen. Did anybody in 1998 think that the executive's first meeting in 2012 would start with talking about violence on the streets of Belfast? Absolutely not. You mentioned the impact on tourism. What about the fact it's depressing.
I'll tell you, I get a sense of it because I work across the water 3 days a week now. And I'm sitting with a group of English producers last night at midnight. And they're saying to me, oh, for goodness sake, what's happening? 40-odd police officers injured and petrol bombs and water cannon. And it really irritates me that when I see it from England of people, you know, and they're looking at the wrong story in Northern Ireland. The wrong story.
I get it, Stephen. I get it. Look, after I met the loyalists on Friday, I met a couple of business people who were having a drink before they went off to the Ulster match at Ravenhill. And they have had it up to the neck in terms of this. They are saying to me, I thought you said that the devolved administration was going to put the economy first and foremost in everything. Well, if you're truly going to do that, then you have to address the fact that there's such frustration within communities that they're prepared to take it onto the streets and express it.
Could I come in on that, Stephen?
Of course you can. Go on, Jay.
Well, I mean, first of all, let me support Mike in saying that the dialogue is at the core of this and that there needs to be dialogue. And, you know, I would always support dialogue. But you see, it's not good enough to say, and it's not that I disagree with issues in the economy and housing and jobs, and especially in North Belfast, one of the most deprived areas in the North. But, you know, and then he compares, you know, loyalists with Republicans and all of that. But here's the fact. The fact is that the population, the Protestant Unionist loyalist population, can vote for whoever they want, and they vote for people like himself and others to do that job. The fact that you have working class people, of what he's saying, is they're very frustrated. They're frustrated right across the board. But they then take that out in a sectarian notion against other people who are Catholic and live in that area is not acceptable. Frustration cannot be the excuse for what happened over the last number of
both
weeks.
Both sides were ratting last night.
No,
both sides.
I realise that. But you mean, you know, in the end, you do. You see, it's an easy thing, if you forgive me for saying this, to be able to come out and say both sides were at it last night. What happened last night was there was an organised, orchestrated rat set up by the mere fact that over 300 people at a particular time, 2 o'clock in the day, an hour before this was supposed to happen, came out and took over Carlisle Circus and the area surrounding it and tried to block off a parade which had got a determination and the protest was not applied.